Good morning. This is Digital Dave. There's somebody waving at me wildly, and we're back.
And we need more volunteers.
That's right. We got that. And okay. That's why we're radio people, because we have no clue what we're doing. I'm joined by Magneto Mel.
And I have no clue here at EAA Radio. 12:10 a.m.
It sounds like a website. I have no clue.com. And we have Bob Knowles and Andy AB, which actually is an acronym because... Danny, send me back to the showers, or at least let me stand outside for a few minutes. And we're talking about air traffic, airspace, modernization, and whatever else we can think of.
Yeah, that's a good topic.
I wanted to ask Bob the question. He says he's been around a long time. You always hear the phrase, well, after the 1970s and deregulation, air traffic has doubled and tripled. And is that true? Is that something you've experienced?
It's always increasing. They had the blip after 9/11. That was to be expected, but it's increasing.
And doubling, tripling.
I don't have exact figures. I just know that there's more airplanes out there.
Yeah, and they're all lost. Oh, just kidding.
Well, only half of them.
Yeah, only the ones with us student pilots in them.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of articles floating around, in little periodicals recently that talk about a lot of new technologies coming in, something called New Sky. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I am not.
Or and different networking.
What was wrong with the old sky?
Well, modernization.
We have to modernize the sky?
Different networking and other technical advances where they project that by, 2020 was the inevitable projection that data communications will overtake voice communications. Mm-hmm. Do you see that?
It's still communication, though. And whether you're typing or talking, I think talking is a bit faster.
Much faster.
There's some things that you can get typed out or maybe canned messages or whatever that you can send out. But
well, just the technologies out there now for an airplane to tell you where it is as opposed to you having to figure it out from the radar sweep.
And, that's pretty easily taken care of with a transponder if he's within radar coverage.
Right.
Working in a VFR tower, then we have to depend on pilot being correct when he tells us where he's at and make sure that he's north when he says he's north and not south.
Oh, no, that never happens. We pilots have an innate sense of direction.
We found that out, yes. We're starting to learn that.
It's just not always accurate direction.
Oh, that wasn't in there, was it?
And it's opposed to being south and going north and being north and going south. And okay, well, we'll work on
this. Are we that bad?
Not everybody.
I was going to say, I hope I at least can look at the sun and say, okay, yeah, I guess must be heading west.
I've used those directions before. Fly towards the sun.
Yep.
And it does work.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Ooh.
Us student pilots are brutal, huh?
Well, and that's one thing that when you first get on the air with us, and if you are a student pilot, tell us. Let us know, and we'll just take extra care of you.
I have no ego. I say, I'm a student pilot, help. I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, but a lot of people do have that ego, and they won't tell us that. And it'll be painfully obvious within a short time anyway. But if you just tell us right up front, then we know what we're dealing with, and we'll just make sure we take extra care of you.
And you'll sit back from the seat and go, oh, not another one.
I've seen the reverse, actually, people protecting their ego by doing a really bad call in and then going, and I'm a student pilot. Just
trying to save some face.
Oh, okay.
Someone that should have known better, huh?
Right, exactly.
I don't want to be in your business, though, with all these airplanes flying around.
This is a great job. I'm surprised they pay me for it sometimes.
It is awesome. Have you worked all of the different facilities, like towers, centers?
I've never worked in a center. I've been to centers, and looked like working in a factory.
Push the green dots from here to there, huh?
That's it.
Just call it the cave.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
I really do like working where I'm at. One day I get to work up in the tower, and I actually get to look at airplanes, and the next day I'm down in the Tracon, and I get to play the video games. And so it's almost like having two different jobs, and you don't get worn out on them.
Now, you have worked as a controller here at Oshkosh?
Yes, I have.
Have you worked a tower?
Yes, I have.
Have you ever gone home and accidentally gone red and white Cessna, rock your wings? You forget
go
about
for the
that?
Pink dot.
Yeah, go for the pink. What?
No, it's the hardest thing is making sure when you're here, you don't call yourself Evansville Tower instead of Oshkosh Tower.
I imagine that happens several times a day.
Oh, yeah. Once you've been there for several years and you're used to that facility, Evansville, and you get here and, oh, yeah, I'm in Oshkosh. Whoops. Sorry.
I would think the first clue would be the steady stream of arrivals that you're suddenly saddled with.
True.
Do they have a little hierarchy here of people who've done it for a long time,
yes,
to kind of help others that are coming in with their procedures?
You start off your first year as a rookie, and usually four people to a team. They try to go with a rookie, a limited that has 2 to 3 years of experience up here, and then a veteran, and then the team lead. So they usually try to get it and get the rookie and the limited up there with a lot of mic time and get them up to speed and let them see what's happening. And sometimes it can get overwhelming.
Have you heard the famous tape, Fantastic Friday?
Yes, I have.
Oh, you ever heard that?
I don't think so.
It was recorded in the 70s. It was a Friday night or something when the arrivals just became overwhelming, and the poor guy on the radio couldn't get the pilots to do what he was telling them to do. And I remember one sequence where he literally told, he says, "All right, everybody just go away and come back and we'll try it again."
I've heard of that. I haven't heard it, but I've heard of
that. That was Fantastic Friday.
Go back to Milwaukee, head for Fisk, and we'll start this all over again.
Yep. Wow, I don't envy you.
And did they comply?
I hope so.
Well, apparently they weren't up to that point, so I just wondered if that worked.
No, the worst part was the guy had a full head of hair before he started his shift.
Well, you're talking about modernization, and where I'm at, I guess we're kind of low on the food chain, so we don't get a whole lot of new stuff. I mean, we still have an old light gun. We still use those.
You have to light it with a match?
Well, yeah, get the candle lit.
Yeah, you're right. Uh-huh. It takes a while.
They have upgraded us to big lighters now.
We think these guys don't have a sense of humor.
No, I have heard the stories of the light gun facilities, especially, you know, a lot of people know around here. I work and associate and fly with a lot of deaf pilots, and one of my
she always wins the arguments.
No, actually. A friend of mine was flying along one time, and he said that he got within, 20 miles of airspace and where there was a restaurant, but it happened to be on a controlled field. And it was early morning. He was hungry. So he said that he called it.
Sorry.
That would be Digital Dave.
We're getting Collins already.
Right, exactly. He said that he called in and he said, you know, I'm 20 miles out, I'm a deaf pilot, and I'm hungry. So, you know, give me the light gun if you can bring me in. Called again at 10, called at 5, got over the field, and he'd circled 4 times before he decided, well, they're not going to give it to me, I'm going to depart. And then all of a sudden he saw the light gun, and he got the green, and he landed. And he said when he got out of the plane, somebody kind of came over to him from the tower and said, "I want to see you up there." Now, he's very, very speech capable and very, he reads lips very well. So he went up to the tower and he was really nervous. He thought, what did I do? Maybe I did something wrong. And got up to the top, and he said the first thing he noticed was the controller had a huge grin on his face. Second thing he noticed, he has a gash in his forehead to match. And the controller said, "Did you remember you called me about 20 miles out and it took that long before I could get the green to you?" And he said, "I spent all that time wrestling the light gun off the ceiling, and when it finally gave way, it came slamming down into his head,
no,
knocked him out for a second, because this thing had not been used for so long." So he had this gash, and then he got up and realized it and saw the guy was still circling and decided to bring him in. But when you say old equipment, in a lot of instances, you're not kidding.
That's true. That's true. Like the radar scopes we're using, they're like the same scopes that I started with back in the early 80s that we got left over from the Air Force. So, and you were talking to me about the phased array before, and
yeah,
I don't have an answer for that one, Dave.
I don't either, I was sad to see that thing die because it had such possibilities. But in defense of government agencies, they believe in that absolute reliability thing, so they're very, very slow to update.
Mm-hmm.
And because they don't jump on a new technology. I mean, I was building radios for RCA Lockheed Martin that went on the P-3 anti-submarine aircraft. They had been building the contract so long that manufacturers stopped making the parts.
Right.
And we were forced to redesign because we couldn't get parts. Other than that, they didn't want us to change the design because it worked.
Right.
So I can understand that. But then again, your system has not kept up with what's going
true
on in the real world.
And my facility, and Danny, I'll let her have a chance to tell you what she has down there, because I'm sure it's totally different. I know it's totally different equipment, and I don't know when it's been upgraded, but I'll give you a chance.
I heard something about Sharpies and whiteboards.
Yeah.
All right, this is Digital Dave.
Magneto Mel.
And this is EAA Radio.